Blog Talk Radio.
God. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity, God, to bring forth this message the way that you gave it to me, God, to tell the people what thus says the Lord. I thank you for giving me the strength to deliver this message, God, that your name may get the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. For those of you that don't know, this is Prolific Fire, and I am your humble host, Prophet Stacy. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to join me on tonight. I pray that the word of the Lord is a blessing. Tonight I have a question for you. How many of you stood and said the traditional wedding vow? It went something like this. I, Stacy Goler, take thee to be my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part. According to God's holy ordinance, and hereto I pledge thee my faith, or pledge myself to you. Remember, it was something similar to that. You said it, but here's the problem. You never really thought the worst would happen. You never really thought you'd be made to walk those words out. Day by day, feel the burn of each vow, especially the one about in sickness and in health. Feeling the burn of what you committed to this other person, like a good workout. You're feeling it and not feeling it at the same time. If that makes sense, you're feeling it and not feeling it at the same time. But you're trying to hang in there. Ride or die, one day at a time. Somebody, but you're trying to hang in there, ride or die, one day at a time. Therefore, let's get into tonight's foundational text, which is Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 22, and Job chapter 2 from the NIV. In your spare time, I suggest you read the complete text. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. Job 1:1-3 from the NIV. One day the angels came for the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread out, so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now, stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then. Everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger." Every time I read that, I like the "do not lay a finger" part. "Very well then. Everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." Job 1:6-15, NIV. And this kept on happening, and this kept on happening till all his donkeys, sheep and camels, all his livestock, his means of wealth was gone. And this kept on happening over and over to all his donkeys, all his sheep, all his camels, all his livestock. His means of wealth was gone. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the other house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. Job 1:18-19, NIV. Job had lost his wealth, and here he loses his house and his children. But note this. Pay close attention to this. There's no mention, nowhere in the book of Job, there's no mention of him losing his wife. Job's wife, but she was hanging in there with her husband. She might have been silent in the text so far, but she was hanging in there with her husband. Money or no money, house or no house. Even through the death of the couple's children, she was still hanging in there, staying true to the covenant agreement of their marriage. You can say what you want to say about Job's wife. When her husband no longer had the type of money that she was accustomed to, money or no money, house or no house, even through the death of the couple's children, she was still hanging in there, staying true to the covenant agreement of their marriage. But the one thing you can't deny about her, she stuck by her husband. Job 2. Again, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity. Though you incited me against him to ruin him without reason, skin for skin, Satan replied. Job 2, verses 3-4, NIV. Then the Lord said to Satan, very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Job 2, verse 6-7, NIV. Things just kept getting worse. Somebody, I feel like you can relate. Things just kept getting worse for the couple. Here, after losing the wealth, the house, and the children, Job himself falls dreadfully ill. Keep in mind that neither Job nor his wife knew that God was behind everything that was going on. That he was allowing Satan to test Job. And I feel like I need to tell somebody, God is allowing what's going on in your life right now to test you. I know it's rough. I know it's hard. I know you don't understand, but it's a test. God trusts you with this trouble. Somebody, God trusts you with the trouble that has come up on your life. He trusts you, and he knows that you can pass this. You can do this. Like Job, up until this point, you have been upright. You have been living right. It's not about punishment. You can do this. Neither one of them had any idea that God was behind everything that was going on, that he was allowing Satan to test Job. And because Job was a married man, that meant his marriage was also being tested by all of this. Somebody, your marriage is being tested. But know that it's only a test. And Job, being a married man, when he was being tested, it meant that his marriage was also being tested by all of this. And still Job's wife never left his side. You can say what you want about her, as I said. You can say what you want about her, but she never left his side. Job's wife was ride or die. She was the real ride or die. Because some of y'all faking, but she was the real ride or die. Sure, she said something foolish in the midst of all this. Yeah, she said something foolish in the midst of all of this. We all know it. His wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You're talking like a foolish woman." I wonder what her name was, because he probably called her name and said, "You're talking like a foolish woman." Job 2, verse 9 through 10, NIV. In her defense, I really believe she said what she said because she was tired of going through. Clearly. And now she was having to watch the effect all of this was having on Job's physical body. Job was ill. The man she loved was sick. And for her, Job's wife, in sickness and in health, had just become real. You see, to some of you, it's still just a vow that you said. But for some others, like Job's wife, in sickness and in health, has become real. And for her, Job's wife, in sickness and in health, had just become real. That is also real for many of you, too. In sickness and in health, staying with your spouse through sickness. Tonight's message. We all know that God created marriage. It was the first institution created by God after he created the garden and humanity. He brought Adam and Eve together to live in the garden as husband and wife. In the book of Genesis, he did this in the book of Genesis. She was bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, made from his rib to be by his side, his suitable help or helpmate, as the Bible says in Genesis. That's marriage, a covenant that joins two people together. Two people of the opposite sex together to be as one by each other's side. But because marriage is work, and most of the work hands-on, which means to make your marriage work, you would have to get personally involved. Somebody, you can't sit on the sidelines and expect your marriage to work. You must get personally involved. Marriage is work, which means that most of the work will be hands-on. You must get personally involved and be willing to give your time and energies to the institution of marriage. Now, I know most single females, not all, because I'm not one of them. I don't feel like this at all. But I know that most single females see the wedding as a fairy tale and the marriage itself as the romantic, happily ever after. But in reality, marriage will require more of you than you know. I know that some single females see the wedding as a fairy tale and the marriage itself as a romantic, happily ever after. But in reality, marriage will require more of you than you know, and perhaps more of you than you're willing to give or can give somebody. So if you're not married and you're thinking about it, you better think twice about it, because marriage is going to require something of you, and it might just be more than you can give. And no, I'm not trying to be Miss Doom and Gloom. I'm trying to be honest. Marriage will require something, and it might just require more of you than you're willing to give. Trust me, if Job's wife was here with us on Prolific Fire tonight, I'm sure she would testify that there was nothing romantic about seeing the man she loved fight to hold on to his integrity and remain integral in the sight of God, all the while losing everything. He was stripped of everything. He lost everything. All the while losing everything he had, everything they had built together as a couple, the death of their children, not just children, but all their children, even to the point of Job looking like the walking dead himself. You see, not only was he sick, but Job was suffering. The Bible says the devil had afflicted him with painful sores, boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Also, described as burning ulcers, Job 2 and 7. So he was in a great amount of pain. He was suffering. And nobody likes to see their loved ones suffering, knowing it's nothing that can be done. No one likes to see their loved ones suffering, knowing that there's nothing that can be done. So in a moment like this, after watching all of this, after losing everything that was lost, Job's wife said something foolish. But who can blame her? You can't tell me that you haven't said anything foolish when you were under stress, hurrying. Because if her husband was going through, guess what? She's also going through because they're as one. So she was feeling what he was feeling, and she was having to witness it all. So she said something foolish. But thankfully, he didn't do what she said. That's all that matters. He was in a great amount of pain. He was suffering, and nobody likes to see their little one suffering, knowing it's nothing that can be done. This is what Job's wife had to look forward to every day. And even though she could do nothing to ease her husband's pain, and he, as the priest of their home, could no longer provide for her on the level she was accustomed, Job's wife stayed by his side. Even though life had drastically changed, he was sick, hurting, in pain, and she was watching all of that, feeling the effects of it because they're as one. And him as the priest of the home could no longer provide for her in the way that she was accustomed, but still she stayed by his side. Why? Somebody might ask. Because the Bible says love is stronger than death. Love is stronger than death. Song of Solomon 8:6, New King James. Meaning that love is stronger than that illness you have no control over. Hear me, somebody. Love is stronger than that illness you have no control over. Love is stronger than that situation. Love is stronger than that illness. Love is stronger than the current circumstances going on in your home. Love is stronger than the current circumstances going on in your home. I hope that encourages somebody. Real love is ride or die. For those of you that are not really serious, you just want to get into a marriage and see what it's about, feel your way through. Before you even try that, you need to know that real love, when it's real, it's ride or die. Real love is not a feeling, but a commitment to love in spite of. Real love is not a feeling, but a commitment for you anymore. In spite of sickness, in spite of loss, in spite of what your spouse can't currently do for you anymore, you stay. No questions asked. It's non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. You stay. A word for somebody. You stay even though your spouse is not the easiest person to get along with now that they're sick. A word for somebody. You stay even though your spouse is not the easiest person to get along with now that they're sick. You don't know what kind of mood they're going to be in each morning when they wake up. You're just thankful that they keep waking up. At this point, you're just thankful that they keep waking up. The Bible says, after all this, Job began to curse the day he was born. The Bible says, after all of this, Job began to curse the day that he was born. In all of Job chapter 3, I mean in every bit of Job chapter 3, Job cursed. He cursed the day he was born. This was his attitude. Job was sick, in pain, and borderline depressed. So staying by his side was definitely no picnic. Go on and on and on, verbally ranting about his life, hating, despising his very life. Somebody, you feel guilty because you're taking a lot of your spouse's ranting personally. Somebody, you feel guilty because you're taking a lot of your spouse's ranting personally. Your feelings are hurt, even though you try not to show it. You want to retaliate, given the condition they're in, given the condition your spouse is in. If you do what keeps coming across your mind to do, how could you do that? How could you retaliate and feel like a good person? Beloved, walk out the room. Listen to me. Walk out the room. The Lord had you tune in tonight for a reason, or listen to the replay for a reason. Beloved, walk out the room. Take a minute to breathe. Fill your lungs with air and release as deeply as you can. You are a good person. Hear me, you are a good person, but you're tired. There's only so much a person can take. You're tired. You're exhausted. No one expects you to be this superhuman. Nobody expects you to be this superhuman caregiver who always gives but has no feelings. But always gives and has no feelings. But love, no one is judging you. It's hard staying by your spouse's side now that they're sick. And their sickness is bringing out a side of them you never knew. And you fear that disposition will get uglier before it ever gets better. You see, we like to quote the scripture, weeping may endure for a night in the morning. But joy comes in the morning. Psalms 30 and 5. As I said, we like to quote it and talk about how we're weeping, what we're going through. But what nobody wants to talk about is what their caregiver, especially if their caregiver is that person's spouse, what they are enduring on a daily basis. We just like to talk about how we're weeping, how we're crying, what we're going through, but nobody really wants to talk about what their caregiver, especially if their caregiver is that person's spouse, what they're enduring on a daily basis because they're going through too. Oh, but I'm here for you tonight. As your spouse, your loved one is sick, going through what they're going through, you're also going through, and I understand that you're going through too. You're weeping too. You're crying too. But try to remember, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. That's what the Bible says. Try to remember, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Psalms 126:5, New King James. Joyous times are coming. I can't promise you when they're coming. I can't say it's coming tomorrow or in the morning, but joyous times are coming. Hold on. Remember also, after his affliction, after Job's affliction, after his sickness, all he had lost, which means Job's wife, his caregiver, his wife, the wife who had stayed by his side, also received double. Because as a married couple, what's his is hers, and what's hers is his. Because as a married couple, what's his is hers, and what's hers is his. Job 42:10. So, if all you can do right now is sit by their side, beloved, if all you can do right now is sit by their bedside, saying nothing, the way that Job's friends sat on the ground with him, after they saw what he was going through, saying nothing, I want you to do that. That husband that's weary from staying, from watching their loved one going through in need of healing, in return, they themselves are hurting. Heal every husband, every wife. Heal every caregiver, every loved one. Give them double for their trouble. In Jesus' name, amen. This concludes tonight's message. I pray that somebody was blessed on tonight. If this message was not for you, do me a favor. Pass it along to somebody else that you may know that's in need of it. If you need prayer, a Bible-based consultation, you can always call or text 08-8690. That's 865-408-8690. Or email propertysafety@prolificfire.com. However, if you're on the phone lines right now via Blog Talk Radio and you have a specific prayer need that's unrelated to what we just discussed, what the Lord just brought forth in the Word on tonight, press 1 on your phone. If it's unrelated to what was just brought forth on tonight, press 1 on your phone because you should have received that by faith. So if it's something different that you need prayer for, again, press 1 on your phone. Press 1 on your phone, and I will be right with you after these last few announcements. If you need this ministry's PayPal info or Cash App info, go to PayPal. Cash App is a $ in Prolific Fire. The P in Prolific is capital. The F in Fire is capital. Prolific Fire, written all together. As usual, you can find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Prophet Stacy. Like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page, and as always, check out ProlificFire.com. Many of the things that you want to do, that you need to do concerning this ministry, and more, on the website, prolificfire.com. Then join us on Faith on the Line with Prophetess Patty. It's a time for prayer and encouragement. If you don't get your prayer request in on tonight for whatever reason, or if you don't reach out to me in private, this is your next opportunity to get your prayer request in. Join us Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific, by calling the number that many of you call tonight, which is 347-426-3782. Your prayer request will be taken then too. So call in. Then join me back here on Prolific Fire once again, same night, time, and place, when the message will be exposing domestic violence, exposing domestic violence for what it is. And for those of you that may be new to Prolific Fire, the reason that Prolific Fire always addresses real issues is because, number one, that's the way God anointed me. Number two, the vision statement for Prolific Fire is seeking to help you where you hurt, which means we deal with real issues using the Bible as a reference. With that being said, everybody, I'm coming to the phone line. Say God be the glory.